I have already described them. However, we will still go through the slides and I'll read through these slides for you. It says over-optimistic schedule. These are often the results of organizational strategies to get into the project with firm belief that the schedule can be compressed. Or over-optimistic schedules required due to market competition can be met. In this situation, not only the project gets delayed, but it also impacts the cost of the project and disturbs the schedule of the project. While operating with such schedules intentionally, the stringent project controls are necessary to keep the damages under control. And out of box thinking to do the things differently along with the consequences of the activities. Now, when we say this, I have explained you how over-optimistic schedules. Something like you got to deliver a few things in 6 months due to competition. So, or else I have a product that has to be launched within 24 hours, or my competition will replicate it. Now, these are scenarios where you can't have leisure. You just can't have leisure over your schedule. So let me give you again a telecom example. If you remember way back in 2006-2007, when incoming in India became free, and the company who launched it was Bharti Airtel. Now they had only 24 hours in their hand before they could announce it, because the moment it goes out to competition, everybody is going to replicate it and they are not going to have the first come advantage, the first coming advantage over the product. So the moment they could control that and get into a market without the competition knowing it, the best thing that happened was they could raise their numbers almost three times bigger than the competition. And that's exactly why it is also sometimes crucial in these dead kind of scenarios where you don't have a choice but to deliver it on time, and rather saving the time, that's the key. Working on too many projects at the same time, I have given you an example around this as well. The capacity to handle the project simultaneously depends on the resources, time availability of the resources, skill sets of the resources. While handling multiple projects simultaneously, the conflict management, the resource allocation, the priority setting plays a very, very, very important role. So when we say this, what do we mean by this? It says that availability of resources in today's scenario, when nothing or most of the things are outsourced, it is important that I see that the resources or the tasks that I'm outsourcing, the resources are available with the partner who's getting this task executed. Similarly, the resources at the partner level need to be competent enough to actually deliver what you are expecting out of them. While handling these multiple projects, conflicts will always arise. Why? Because you as project manager will require lots and lots of time to be devoted at the beginning of the project and at the end of the project, or sometimes also possible during the execution of the project. So allocation of your time and your resources times becomes a greater challenge. So let me give you an example. We consider there is some individual called Joseph, and Joseph is a IT folk and he's a software developer, and he's required by one project manager to do some coding for a software that's getting developed. And similarly, there is other project manager who requires Joseph for creating some other code for some other software. Now, how do you use 8 to 9 hours of this employee who's a resource and is an integral resource of your project is where the game lies. So important is, can I use this resource, or can I develop a different resource, or can I do it myself? So rather than putting yourself into different projects, if I have one project, I can focus on that project. It can help you a lot. However, looking at the actual practical scenarios, it becomes very, very difficult in practical scenarios where you can have this kind of liberty. But important is that you still try and get resource allocation correct, because that plays a very, very important role when you actually working on projects. The other delays that we have is one solution that fits all. I've explained you this. The same or more solution approach may yield good results for projects or the similar nature. But if the projects are different in nature, this approach will prove to be syndrome and absolutely disastrous. Hence, choice of project management, projects management and the solution has to be done very cautiously. So don't use same fits for everybody. Alright, so you require a different chain or a different mechanism to handle a tiger and handle an elephant. So there are two different mechanisms. So you can't apply the same mechanism to both of them. So realize that not every solution, you can take a benchmark of course, but do not get into the same solution. It might not work. So be very, very vigilant around it. Expansion of the scope. This is the observed as very, very common delay of the project. The analysis indicates that this happens mainly because of the inputs, interpretation of the inputs, and not being explicit at the initial level of the project. Now, what happens is, and what is the behavior behind it of the project executioners, typically the project manager and the stakeholders, is they're very excited about the project if it has a viability. And the moment you're excited about a project, I tend to forget small nitty-gritties of the project, and those nitty-gritties come up during the later stage of the project, and that's exactly why the scope changes. And the moment scope changes, it is very, very difficult to control the time of the project. Hence, my quick request to everybody who would manage projects is, please plan well, because it's always said, I've read it somewhere that Alexander used to plan for 6 months and finish the war in 20 days. Now, that's the importance of planning, and we need to realize, because the moment my scope goes up or my scope changes, it might change my time, it might change my cost, it will change my delivery, it will change also maybe my quality. So I need to be very vigilant about when I'm writing the scope and creating the scope of the project. To avoid such situations, of course, what we can do is explicitly define it, as I've mentioned, and ensure that it's been communicated to every individual and every stakeholder who's directly or indirectly linked to the project. This takes us to the next part of it, which talks about research-oriented projects. I give you an example of a pharmaceutical company trying to evolve a drug, which is a life-saving drug, and it's an agile method, and nobody probably has attempted it, and there's no background to it. So that could be one of the way. Projects that are governed by risk or uncertainty, as I said, trying to create a life-saving drug, or maybe a NASA project for that matter, which is ideally projects based on risk, uncertainty. You don't know when the satellite is launched, whether it's going to actually get placed in the right orbit. You try to do everything that is possible, but every time you do a satellite project, it's a new project altogether. And hence, research-oriented projects tend to have delay in their schedule. Similarly, is poor design. The cause straightway points of the capability of the designer's inputs, and that's exactly where I say that it's important right at the beginning I have a clear identification of my blueprint. If my blueprint is not correct, the chances of my outcome coming in correct is not there. So important, and very, very important during the planning stages, that I have a design which is foolproof, so that before I start executing, I know where am I heading towards as a project manager. Quality control. If you remember, I gave you an example of the of Hyundai Motors, where if I want to manufacture a car, every part of my car is actually separately manufactured and then compiled and assembled at one location. And at every part which is being manufactured, if I do not have a quality control, it is not going to give me the end result that I'm looking at. So very crucial, quality control at every step, every phase of the project is an integral part. Why? Because it can give me a full stop, and I have my project, my product ready, and I still can't launch it. It's because I haven't done the quality control at every stages that is required. Similarly, if you look at it, reasons of delay is lack of experience. It could be the team members. It could be the project manager, the program manager. Hence, it is very, very advisable that wherever you require professional experts, please go and ask for professional experts. They could be consultants, they could be coaches. Go ahead and take these services. As I give you an example in my last chapter also, that if I need strong finance management in this project, in a project that you're doing, please go and appoint a CA, please go and appoint a financial consultant who can help you to create the cash flow. If you try to do it, the possibility that you make a mistake is, or you putting your project on risk. That's the only thing that it implies to. If you believe in luck and you getting on to a project role, that's very risky. So in future, whenever that's possible, never ever get into such kind of a situation. Wherever you feel that you do not have the experience, learn and try getting coached by somebody who's an expert around it. Organizational strategies, I gave you an example, something that's currently there in the organization's goal, and maybe after 6 months that's not directly linked to the organizational goal, it might just fall off. So the delay of account strategies only can be avoided by adopting some flexible preparedness of the organization to review the same. There can be exceptions of the rule in the organization or overall impact, but at the same time, the exception should not become rules. And hence, authorities for these aspects must be used very judiciously. Let's look at methods of project operations. What do we have? The choice of project operation methodology mainly depends on whom. So, ownership of the project. Who's the owner of the project? So is there a person who's sponsoring it? Is there a person who's a program manager, the project manager? All these then become the project owners, basically. Then there is a duration of the project, which plays an integral role. I've been talking about time for a long time now. It's in the sixth chapter. I'm continuously talking about time, scope, and quality, because these are three integral aspects of any project management. Sector of the project, we've been talking about that as well. Outcome of the project and objectives of the project. These aspects of the project will decide at the level of risk and uncertainties involved in the project, execution, implementation, and management. The government projects are long durations of the public welfare structure nature, whereas steel, aviation, oil and gas sector projects may be for building new facilities. So let me give you an oil and gas example. The excavation process where oil is been excavated from the sea, it's called the mobile offshore unit. Now, mobile offshore unit and the connectivity between the mobile offshore unit and the shore is called train, T-R-A-I-N, train. So, what does the oil and gas industry do? Every time when they have find an excavation point in the sea, they build up a train to get that oil transmitted to the shore so that it can come to the normal public or the refineries. So this is how oil and gas would work, and it's about building new facility. So every time they find out a new MOPU, is the mobile offshore portable unit, they would then build up a new facility. So that new building up new facility becomes a project for them. And the projects in an automobile industry may be for development a new model. I've been talking about Hyundai and Maruti around it for improvement of existing vehicles. So if you notice that you have a lot of versions of the vehicles that you see. Similarly, is mobile handset industry. You might find a Samsung coming out with some mobile handset and a similar version of it after 2 months. Why? Because they're improving on their own product, and hence you have these versions. So versions are there in softwares, versions are there in handsets, in cars, and everything around. So you will always have improvement projects going around. While the above description is clear that the methodology of the project can't be same for all projects, and that is exactly why we say that there is no quick fix or the same fix to everything. The two basic methods of the project operations are called as cyclic methods and a waterfall method, and I'm going to take you a little deep down on both of them. So let's look at this. When we talk about a cyclic method, which is also called as the adaptive method. The moment I say adaptive method, there is something called as agile. The word adaptive comes from agile. Agile is incremental. It keeps it keeps going on for a longer period of time. So if you have a look at this chart that I'm showing you here, it talks about start of the project, cycle one, no iteration, not okay. So testing happens, cycle two, again testing happens, and project ends. Note there are multiple activities in each cycle. There may be number of tests in every cycle. So it is important that I understand this, that every cycle will have number of tests and number of activities that are going around in regular basis. So if I start just getting you and reading through it, if you understand, a cyclical method is generally followed in software development projects. In this method, the uncertainty and risk for the output are comparatively higher, since the number of scenarios and variables are very high. In this method, the output is achieved after performing number of cycles. So there's a lot of testing being done to ensure that the product is final. So there's the alpha level testing, there's a beta test, and then there is the dry run test, and then a go live. So lot of other things that are involved into this. In this method, the output is achieved by performing number of cycles. The output is of every cycle is tested for the given set of conditions and implemented only after desired output is achieved. So stage one, there will be a test, stage two, there will be a test, stage three, and all three tests in terms of alpha, beta, test and dry running test are to be conducted. They conduct a lot of them so that there is no mistake at the end. For few cycles may be required even after implementation, cyclical method can incorporate new requirements, maybe customer requirements, or relieved as outcomes of uncertainty, and go back to the revise and output to the extent of planned of number of cycles. So this method actually can go back to the audience or to go back to the customers, and then they would come back, okay, we would want to change these things, and then again, you know, the change happens. So this is a continuous process. It keeps updating itself every time. Similarly, the waterfall method, if you look at it, it's called unadaptive or irreversible method. If you see out here, it talks about start project and end project, phase 1, phase 2, phase 3, phase 4. So there's no reverse cycle that's there. It's a one-way process, generally been saying. Waterfall method is progressing in one direction. It is also possible to give a reverse against waterfalling. So revision change is not accepted here, and any reason has been incorporated by repeating the whole process. So this kind of a work can happen in a drug saving pharmaceutical company. So you start of one phase, other phase, and every ingredient is being added to the next phase. Then you don't have a choice but to start preparing it from again. So hence, these are the reasons why pharmaceutical companies or research oriented companies generally face a delay in the projects. Methods of project operations. In practice, most of the projects are executed in the combination of both. So there are some activities that are adaptive. There are some activities which are rigid or non-adaptive. The cyclic method, whereas as the area at least risk and uncertainties can be executed as the waterfall method. This combination combining both gives an advantage. So it's not in cycle style that, you know, agile or for that matter unadaptive method has to be picked up, but both can be picked up. So SOPs can be non-adaptive and research can be adaptive. So that helps you to minimize the risk and be on time and of course be also be on the quality that we expect. Operations in the part of the manner, most of the government public sector projects are of larger scopes, because they have to be implemented across the states, across the country. Hence, the project is divided into small projects maybe executed parallelly or in sequence, considering the investment required, their dependence on each other, the usage of the output of each part. While executing the project in such a manner, the sequence of requirement integration of different different project teams and close monitoring, the overall project is very important to deliver planned target output. So one of the project that I can say, you know, that comes to my mind that's right or currently going around is the connecting all metros, the quadrangle project of a road. So it's not that it's starting from one point, ideally it's parallelly starting from every point and they will meet up some point and then complete the project. So that's one of a good way of you know, of a good example that is currently running with us. Similarly, if you look at state projects, a lot of state projects move on. Building bridges is what was done in 2006, 2007. Metro projects, which are you know, the rail metro projects, which are done in metro cities right now. Now Delhi is completed and we're moving to Mumbai, and then probably it will go to Chennai and all. So that's how you know these projects get completed. For example, while executing express roadways, that's exactly what I spoke about. Between two destinations is not necessary to construct the road from one destination to the other. One can definitely identify, estimate rush area, risk of the land acquisition, income of the sectors, and decide to build either parallel or one another in various sectors, put them into operations, and finally connect the dots or finally connect them together. So this is the introduction of project management and phases of the project. If you look at it, start of the project will have 1, 2, and 3 phases. We have cycle one. In cycle one, we have, you know, this is the agile method. Both of the all the three phases have agile method, and testing is on continuous process. If you note this, there is a multiple activity in each phase. There may be more number of phases. The figure indicates combination is provided for better understanding. So ideally, if you look at it, that's how phasing is done in project. While you create these charts, every icon on the chart can have a different method, so a different reason, and hence you can also have a legend of these figures. So what do I mean by that? Phase 1, phase 2, and phase 3. So all phases maybe can have a rectangle, and all testing might have a test. So testing might have a diamond shape. What does that mean? It means that everybody in the project who's directly or indirectly related will understand the icons correctly and the legend correctly. So it's important from a project manager's point of view that you actually create these legends for people to have a common understanding of the communication. Let's have a quick look. Phases of projects. It's a phase of projects that it manages. So project initiation is the first, where you define the scope and create a project charter. Project analysis phase, that's exactly where you create a field validation or a feasibility study. Budget, investment, and financial approval phase, this is where your stakeholders are involved completely in terms of financing it. Project planning, this is where you start planning and gathering requirements in terms of what actually would be required in your project. Then comes the project execution part of it, control and monitor, project closing, and handing over. So we're going to take a deep dive in every aspect of it and understand every part of it, of course, as we go forward in this chapter. Let's look at this. What does a project initiation and what is the defining phase? So a project initiation is likely to prepare a draft or a recipe, basically, or a design that you can prepare, you know, to show that, okay, this is what you're going to do. So initiation is a physically it's like a 4 or 5 pager document. Which actually can go to the stakeholders to grab their interest. So moment my stakeholders have interest into that, then I can probably go ahead and start working a little more on that. So that's how a project initiation or a definition phase is. In this definition, you also, we've discussed about this, you will tell who's the target audience, you will tell maybe the approximate time. So everything is on an approximate mode during your project initiation phase. Similarly, project analysis. Now, once you've, you know, actually, you know, grab the attention of your stakeholders, this is the time when you actually start talking on project analysis phase. that the general outputs that you get is of course the project generated, the output generated by project initiation phase will be analyzed using scientific methods for its coverage of the spectrum. So now what are these scientific methods? You will check the impact versus revenues, you will check the investment versus revenues, you will check the manpower utilization, you will check the duration and the goal that you want to achieve. So all of it is being now practically put into paperworks, put into analysis, and then checked with different models, of course. We've got a lot of models, and that's where we will speak in coming chapters around it, how do you analyze a project. And an output of these analyses is generate possibly with flags of caution, so hold points, uncertainties. So these are the, while I create this document, in this I will also have risk that has been calculated. When I calculate the risk, when I say it's a high risk, it's a medium risk or a low risk, and all these risks are being denoted by specific flags or specific colored coding is being done for them, so that I'm clear whether I have a risk which is lying more than 80%. So as I said, more than 80%, more than 20%. So if I have more than 20% risk, then I probably would be a little more skeptical in going ahead with the project. Now that's what the project analysis phase is. This takes us to the next part of it, which talks about budget, investment, and financial approval phase. This is the input that you required for this phase is, of course, your project analysis phase. Because your project analysis phase actually talks about everything that a project requires. So whether it's time, money, human resources, tools, techniques, whether you require some approvals, the government approvals, the licensing, everything, what are the kind of vendors, what are the kind of machines that you require, everything is already being done in the in your earlier phase, which is called as analysis phase. You then put a money attached to it, then you put in the time attached to it, and the moment you put in money and time, of course you need to get the approvals from the stakeholders or your program managers or your shareholders or the managing committee. Now the analysis of the project initiation action will almost freeze the framework and definition of the project to remain within the defined framework of quality, cost, and delivery. Mind you, quality, cost, and delivery, it is important and it is necessary to identify the budget investment and the approval and release of such approvals, approved financials document to all the stakeholders who are actually in the project directly, indirectly for the final output. Project planning phase, very, very important phase. If you ask me personally, I believe in planning. Beginning of the project planning is the phase of key of integration point. Since the project planning and budgeting can run parallel and need no sequential order, the final decision will depend on organizational strategy. Whether the organization actually looking at these kind of budgets, not these kind of budgets, is that what you want to achieve, and all sort of things would go in project planning. Project planning is a very key and successful accomplishment of the project, and hence must be done very, very methodically. This takes us to the next part of it, which talks about project's execution. Execution is the key, and we all have to realize that unless we execute things correctly, unless we don't look at the ideas that we were talking about, which now we've built into our project, unless we don't get into execution correctly, we're not going to get a desired results. So man, machine, method, measurement are four crucial elements when I say that my project has to be executed well. When it comes to man, it's the human resources. When it comes to methods, it's the processes. When it comes to measurements, it's the monitoring piece. And of course, the last part, but not the least, is the mother nature. So I need to take care of the entire environmental factors that are going to affect my execution phase. So I'll read through this. This means the success of the execution phase lies in the project planning phase. Integration of actions. Because everything that you've spoken, everything you've put on papers, now has to get on the action. Within the stakeholders, decision conflict management becomes the key skill while you're in the execution phase. Because I have a different way of executing things. Maybe my colleague, somebody, does not have the similar ability or has a better ability than me to execute things. Now he or she is obviously going to get into the conflict if I'm not able to deliver that stuff in the time that they're expecting me to deliver, or I might get into a conflict if they're not able to deliver things that I'm asking them to deliver in a specific time. Now, as a project manager, it becomes imperative that you have a skill which can avoid these conflicts and ensure that your project is on correct timelines. This is only possible if you know how to negotiate with people, if you know how to get your leadership skills on place. Now that takes us what does it avoid? It avoids uncertainties, surprises at the last moment, gray areas which factor the hindering and the piece of the execution phase. So because it's said that unless you don't execute it well, the projects fail during execution phase. They do great planning, they do very nice ideas, but if you do not have a great execution team and people are not assigned correct tasks and roles, you will find that projects fails, and you might just look around how many projects actually fail due to lack of execution. This also takes us to the next piece of it, which talks about project control and monitoring. The control and monitoring mechanism is defined and adopted from a particular project will directly decide the fate of the project. So if I do not control my risk, if I do not control my money, if I do not control my time, if I do not control my quality, it is not going to give me or yield the desired results that I'm expecting. So important that control and monitoring is the key of executing a project and making it successful. If I'm not able to control or monitor, but by the way, if you remember, I told you right at the beginning in the other chapters that anything that cannot be monitored or controlled cannot be a project. All right. So unless you have a monitoring mechanism, a control mechanism, a quality check on everything that you're doing around, your project is on people's wish. So if you're looking at delivering projects with a set target, with a desired result, with the complete controlled over quality, then you have to monitor it every day, at every phase, at every testing. Be very sure when you actually monitoring a project. To run you through what's written on the slide, it says the control and monitoring mechanism defined, adopted for a particular project will directly decide the fate of the project. The objective of the control and monitoring mechanism is the support successful accomplishment of the project and should not be considered as mere hold points. Each stakeholder must faithfully respect and control the monitoring mechanisms, and at the same time, any ambiguity should be highlighted immediately to the project manager. That takes us to the last aspect of it, which says project closing and handover. Again, a very important aspect of it is because it's going to create a lot of information for the rest of the people in your organization who are going to take over this project forward. Okay, so closing and handover is the last phase of the project management, and is not least important. Of course, it is very, very important, since the same shall finally certify whether the project is accomplished. This is exactly what is the day that you wait for as a project manager or as a team member of a project. You wait for the day when it says, okay, we are done. And this is the phase where you have to be very sure about. This is also important for commercial aspects, because as I told you, one of the NSDC project of government, government will not pay you unless they certify that this project is completed. So you're still losing a lot of money, maybe all your profits in that, if you've not given the correct closing methodology. Lessons learned and improvement records of the future projects. So that's exactly what I was talking about. It will give you lot of information for the future projects that you do, and hence every document in your project has to be preserved very well and in right documented and librarized. Because if you do not put it into a library format, you don't get the information next time when you want it. So remember, every lesson learned have to be categorized very well and kept in a category format. So remember that to categorize the information that you're actually working on. Let's look at roles, responsibilities, and skills that are required for a project manager. The team project manager used here, I use henceforth, doesn't refer to a designation of a person in an organization. The person by the designation may not be the manager or may not be with a designation higher than a manager in an organization structure. It must understood clearly that the term is used with project reference only. So anybody can be a project manager. So he could be an individual contributor for that matter. All right, not necessarily that he has have his own team, but in a lot of matrix organization, I mean, and we'll talk about what are matrix organization in future as well. Not necessary that you have a team which are important to you. A lot of times you are an influencer and you're given a task to get completed, and you know, at mid level projects and short term projects, you don't have a team. You actually have to talk to people and get them influenced to be a part of this project. Similarly, may not be a senior, may not be a junior. It could be anything, you know. So stakeholder is a capacity of the project manager. Sorry, the project manager is for a project and not a senior or a junior as per organizational structure. Conflict management skills are attribute of a project manager and affects the project management or execution of your project. Let's look at what are the roles of a manager in brief. Work precise. Brief words. The project manager is one who identifies and ensures the application of knowledge, skills, and tools, techniques to describe, organize, overview, and control the various projects and processes. To play this role effectively, it is expected that the project leader should have the knowledge, basically, of the project management essentials that are required, which we're talking right now, and skills, but has mentioned above, it must be very clear about his role to identify and apply the stakeholders or hire and use them. So he or she is the navigator. He or she is the real navigator of the project. So unless you're not sure about what is the project that you're looking at, how would you deliver that project? So before you get into project, ensure that you know everything that you're expecting out of the project. It's okay if you don't know everything how to execute it, but you definitely need to know everything that you want by the end of the project. Some more, the project manager overall responsibility includes but is not limited for successful initiation, planning, execution, monitoring, and closure. Of course, control and closure of a project with accomplishments of targets as per schedules within the allocated budgets. So, to shoulder these responsibilities successfully, a project manager can't just be a manager or a leader or a monitor, but has to be a good appropriate mixture of all three of them. So this takes us to a good understanding of what is a leader, what is a manager, what is just a person who is technically sound on his know-how. It is crucial that we understand and realize that I have certain skills. I mean, as a project manager, I need to have certain skills. So what are those skills? I mean, can I build up a good team? I require that skill, because as a project manager, if I'm not able to build up a good team, who's going to do the job? Everything, I can't do everything. So at the end of the day, I need a good team to work around. I need to understand the mechanism of delegation, what to delegate, when to delegate, who to delegate, and how to monitor it. I need to have motivation skills. If I'm not able to motivate people, if I'm not able to tell them how and why is this project critical, I won't be able to sustain in that project, and people might lose faith in me as a leader. I need to have a good, strong decision-making ability. The reason being, if I do not have a strong decision-making ability, I'm going to lose the essence or the aura of a leader, because every project will have a problem, and every problem needs a solution, and every solution has to be decided whether you're going to take that or no, or going to leave that. So it's important that I have a very strong decision-making ability. Next, but not the least, the conflict management skills. I've been talking about conflict management because I told you projects are idly run and driven by human beings, and they're obvious because to have a conflict, because every individual comes with a different belief system, different value system, different goals, different environment, and different culture. And hence, it becomes a little difficult for people who can't get along or cannot manage conflicts to feel exhausted and stressed during the project management phase. So, and typically during the execution phase, by the way, because everybody is putting their heart and soul to ensure that they are working very hard, because they have their personal goals to be achieved through the project. So if a leader, a project leader, a project manager is not able to handle those conflicts well, whether the conflicts on time, whether it's personal conflicts, whether it's cost conflicts, quality conflicts, if you're not able to handle them well, then your project is not going the right direction. If you look at limitations of a project manager, in short, delegation and experience of a project manager plays a very important role. So if you're not experienced, if you don't know how to delegate, you're going to feel stressed at the end of the day. So that's something which is very, very important. A project manager should have an experience of 3-4 years of managing projects under good people, good coaches that in the same field of project management, and then taking up assignments individually. That comes us and actually brings us to the last slide, which says thank you. But before going this, I have something to share when it comes to project leaders or project managers. One of the most important skill of a project manager is leading people. You can create a software, you can create everything that is required for a project. But trust me, if you are not able to manage people well, they are not going to, your project is not going the right way. So, quick tips to manage people. Manage people's perception. Tell them why you do it. Tell them how you want them to do it. Tell them what is expected out of them. And please, please, please monitor them and give them correct feedback. Now, when I say give them feedback, what do I mean by that? Tell them what good they have done. Tell them how they can improve on things that they have not done correctly. And ask them when would they make the changes. Now that's the key that you can work around with your people. Thank you.